I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 150. That's right, 150, discussing the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 6, The Good Samaritan. This show is recorded on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because of duplicitous uncles.
If you'd like to talk to us about duplicitous uncles, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can send us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can also find our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can view videos like the one we're recording right now on the GunnaGeek.com YouTube channel. That's at www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
Because Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be giving away the Spider-Man Marvel Collector Core crate. We're going to be talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going to be running down the weekly Marvel news, talking about your feedback, and also highlighting chats from our live chat room at geeks.live. This week, we are giving away the Spider-Man Pop Funko Collector Core crate, aren't we, Haley?
Yes, we are. And if you'll recall, you had to let us know what you thought Spider-Man's homecoming theme should be by today. Today is the deadline. If you're listening to this now, it's too late to send in your entry.
And we've received some entries, and we are going to announce the winner. Lauren, drum roll, please. The winner will be Average Intelligence with his supervillains. So Peter Parker can dress up as his favorite villain or someone else's, because, Lauren, we like supervillains.
Yes, we do. We like supervillains.
We do indeed. So thank you very much, Average Intelligence. Please send me an email with your address so that I can send you your Marvel Collector Core crate powered by Pop Funko on Spider-Man. Haley, these collector core crates are great, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I am subscribed to it. I get one every month, except a couple months ago when I was moving, mine shipped while I was moving. So I had my mail forwarding set up. I wasn't too worried about it, except they forwarded it and it never arrived at my new apartment. So I contacted Collector Core's customer support on Friday. They got back to me by Monday saying, hey, we're shipping you a new crate. Because they're awesome.
Sweet.
They were just like, boom. Yep.
That's awesome.
Awesome indeed. We watched a great episode last night. It was called The Good Samaritan. Haley, what do we know about the director?
It was directed by Billy Gerhart, and that name might sound familiar because this is not his first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He has done 8 episodes of the series so far. He's also done many episodes of Once Upon a Time, The Walking Dead. He did an episode of Jessica Jones. He did an episode of the new show Timeless, which is pretty good. He's also done several episodes of Hell on Wheels and Sons of Anarchy, if you're into like motorcycles and such.
He's done 8 total episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., running back to 2013 with repairs. He did nothing personal. Ye who enter here in 2014. In 2015, he did a couple of episodes, Aftershocks and SOS Part 2. He also, in 2016, did Absolution, The Ghost, and now The Good Samaritan. And oh, by the way, he's got over 20 credits way back in the camera and electrical departments, including shows like Stargate SGU, The Shield, and Deadwood. Lauren, I think the writer for this episode is special indeed. What do you think?
Yes, yes, he is. The writer for the show is Jeffrey Bell, who's worked on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before. He's done 8 episodes, including Tahiti, 084, I Spy, Mavith, and among other stuff he's done, he wrote Marvel's Most Wanted, which is on IMDb as TV movie. I kind of hope we get to see it someday, but who knows? He did an episode of Spartacus, War of the Damned, which he was also a producer of, and it was The Dead and the Dying, which was the 9th episode of War of the Damned, which is season 3, sort of. Ask me one day about Spartacus, I will talk to you all about it, but it was a really good episode. Among other shows, he also did Alias, he did X-Files, and he did 13 episodes of Angel, including 2 episodes that I really, really like. He did Not Fade Away, the finale of Angel, and he did, which is appropriate for today, The Cautionary Tale of Numero Cinco in the last season, which is an episode about a Mexican wrestler that takes place on Day of the Dead. By the way, Feliz Dia de los Muertos, people.
Okay, I don't speak Spanish. What does that mean?
Happy Day of the Dead.
No, okay, there.
Context clues, dude.
Definitely a power team hitting this episode, which is good because we take a month off after this. We'll get to that later from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the meantime, let's slip back into the Good Samaritan. Let's talk about the meaning of Good Samaritan. Haley, I think it's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty obviously. It's the guy on the motorcycle who's clearly a very solid dude with no marks against his character.
Now, do you think it was El Diablo or do you think it was the original Ghost Rider?
To me, it seems like it was the previous Ghost Rider.
Yeah, it seems like it was Johnny Blaze, given, you know, the context clues that we got.
Yep.
The motorcycle, the appearance of just, okay, if you notice the way that their skulls are, it's different. In the comics, Johnny Blaze is just kind of traditionally just a skull on fire. The way that Robbie Reyes is drawn, it's a little bit more, again, fitting for today, made to look like a calavera, which is an ornamental skull, like a sugar skull, that's used as an offering on the Day of the Dead. Because, you know, he's a Mexican-American, and it's all symbolic.
Do you think they actually got Nick Cage to be on set for that scene?
Oh, hell no. I mean, I wish, because that sounds like it would be entertaining, but oh, hell no.
That would have been
great. It
was
great. A stunt guy.
I'm absolutely positive that that was Nick Cage. Completely certain.
Complete with the like random voodoo charms sewn into his outfit.
I wouldn't be surprised, especially because of the cameo that Marvel did at the end of Iron Man, leading to Nick Fury. So I wouldn't be shocked, but at the same time, highly improbable. I guess it really depends on how much Nick Cage wanted to continue the role or not, or if he just had a hankering to pee some more fire.
Well, he does have a Johnny Blaze tattoo, like a Ghost Rider tattoo. So he's into it. But the question is, will they let him anywhere near the character anymore?
I don't know. And they didn't actually show anything. So it'd be like, hey, dude, no. You could do it, but nobody's going to know it's you.
I'm like 99% sure it was just a random stunt guy with like a green sock over his head.
If you insist.
But still, it could have been Nick Cage.
My headcanon is Nick Cage. Guys, we need to clean up the bus a little bit because there's geese everywhere.
Hey, Coulson has assured us there are absolutely no geese to be found. He's assured us. I believe him. Trustworthy guy.
I wish he had said, we only have domesticated geese here, sir.
And then have a goose actually walk by. That would have been fun. But the Star Wars references came out galore this episode. We got a Han Solo reference and we got an Admiral Ackbar reference.
Confirmed. Coulson's favorite character is Admiral Ackbar.
Makes sense.
Everything is always a trap. Of course it makes sense.
It's a trap.
There you go. I'm not sick, but that's the best I could do. There were some great quotes, and I'm sure Haley has some, but
I don't have any quotes this week.
I got to talk about one off the bat, which is Coulson's, "The skull on fire makes a compelling argument for Hail Satan." So Coulson was really hitting it this week, hiding the people in the drop box. What is the containment box? What is
the
that thing called?
Containment box.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's hiding them in there on the bottom of the airplane. No geese here. And the whole thing over Ghost Rider. And he tried to refrain Ghost Rider with his arm. Didn't work out so well for him.
No. It turns out that weird otherworldly power is Trump's robot arm.
Who'da thunk?
I really love that part where Fitz is like, no, this is our most high-tech thing and it can hold any. And then Ghost Rider busts out.
Nobody's broken out of it yet. Well, guess what? There's always a first time. And unfortunately, Simmons wasn't there to see it. We'll talk about that later. Let's talk about Jeffrey Mace, though. He boards Zephyr 1. How dare he?
Well, it could have been worse. I was really worried he was going to try touching Lola.
Lola wasn't in this episode. Did you see? There was no Lola in the plane. It was the Charger and it was a shield vehicle. Where is Lola?
Hidden safely away where Mace can't touch her.
Probably with the book now, too.
Yeah. Coulson's like, no, must protect mine.
It's not Jeffrey. It's Director Mace. Trying to put his foot on the ground. I don't think it worked, though.
I know that the people listening couldn't hear, but I just rolled my eyes real big.
I heard it.
Hashtag, go ahead, say it.
Not my director. Like, again, every time I'm like, okay, I very cautiously want to like him. And then he pulls something like this where it's just like, between this and the Simmons stuff and just so frustrated.
He was cornered into it at the end of last episode when he was in the car with Senator Nadir, who was not in this episode either, but clearly colluding now with Director Mace or forcing his hand at least to try to do something about this.
Again, every time I want to believe he's on the up and up, he goes and does something shady.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know the way it's presented is that he believes that he's doing it for the greater good. That's the way it's presented on the show. But, and like we talked about last week, because we're so attached to these people, it's just so frustrating to me.
I know. You know what's frustrating even more, Haley? It's what is going on with Simmons?
I'm worried about her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really worried.
I'd be incredibly worried if somebody handed me a black hood and said, here, let's do a favor for the United States government.
Just last week, she, like, called him out on something, which we don't know the details of at this point. But it was something big enough that he's like, okay, you don't have to do, the tests anymore. I'm worried about where he sent her.
Yeah. And now he's like black bagged her and she doesn't have time to do anything. It's very worrisome.
Yeah, nobody was tipped off that she would be leaving at all. She had no chance to contact Fitz. Nobody knows where she is. Mace isn't even asked where she is in this episode. I think it'll happen. Well, I don't know. They're going to be concentrating on getting Coulson and Fitz back, I would think.
Yeah, things were in such like a big rush here that really other than Fitz being like, I haven't heard from Simmons and I can't get a hold of her, everyone is kind of preoccupied. And I guess because of Simmons being off to the side from the group lately, they might think, oh, it's not such a big deal that we haven't heard from her. She's off doing important science stuff. And in reality, she's off God knows where doing God knows what. Or having God knows what done to her. I mean, we don't know.
She could be back at Maveth for all we know.
I mean, she could be. It was written by the guy who wrote that episode.
Right. S.H.I.E.L.D. could have set up a base there now. Who knows? There was nothing else on the planet that we knew about. It was a dead planet, pretty much, right?
Yeah. This is all very worrisome.
Yeah. And Death's gone now. He's dead, so that would be kind of a safe haven. Or as Stargate used to call it, what was it? The Alpha Site. It could be S.H.I.E.L.D.'s yes. Alpha Site.
I need to rewatch that show. I'm in the middle of a Babylon 5 rewatch right now. Soon, I should do a Stargate one.
I'm doing my Stargate rewatch, and then I'm going to do Babylon 5. No. Then I'm going to do Farscape. I'm actually in the middle of watching Babylon 5 for the one and a half time.
Oh, see, I've not ever watched all the way through Farscape or Babylon 5. Oh, they are on my watch list, and I will get there someday.
I only got up to like season 4 of Babylon 5 last time they pulled it off of Netflix and never put it back.
Mm. Yeah. Well, season 5 of Babylon 5 isn't really that good, so.
So, May, she's got an interesting story arc in here. Not a lot of May, but she discovered that the Momentum Labs were broken into, and then later on, she comes back and she hides the book for Coulson because Coulson trusts her.
Coulson trusts her with that. I noticed she gets a lot of the, like, scary supernatural stuff. She got the Asgardian Rage staff back in season 1. She gets this. I know it's Coulson's like, it's because I trust you. But first of all, there was like a little, you know, significant glance there. She's the person after everything that you definitely know can be depended on not to go wild with the evil book of evil.
That's right. And as Stephen pointed out last week, Haley, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the episode or not, but he said he's 100% sure that May was affected by her near-death or actual death experience, and that just hasn't come out yet in the show, that there is still something that she has to go through. And Coulson and May kind of went through a little back and forth last episode of are you okay, whatever, and Stephen believes they just wouldn't have thrown that in there, that that will be a concern as the show runs forward in the season. Who knows? Maybe that's a part of it as well.
I don't know. Because aside from having her be possessed, they haven't really done much with May yet this season. Like, nothing really with her character.
Yes, they haven't, other than the death.
Mm-hmm.
She got to be really snarky this episode, and that was kind of great.
Yeah, Fitz was really into it as well, man. He was pissed off with Mace. He was trying to get into the information that he needed to make the assessment, which he correctly did, by the way. And we got our Peggy Carter callback again this season. They're really giving her a tip of the hat this entire season so far.
Yeah, that made me very happy.
So I felt like they were twisting the knife. Like, remember this awesome thing you had?
Yeah, it was a bittersweet moment.
What do you think is the connection between what Uncle Eli has done to himself and the dark matter?
What we see from the dark matter, it seems to absorb things. It pulls things into itself. This thing is kind of the opposite of that. It spits stuff out. So can he create things instead of absorbing things?
Maybe bring things into this universe from the other universe?
It's kind of a scary thought, but yeah.
Because the energy's got to come from somewhere. So obviously they're siphoning the energy from the other universe. So that's just my feeling, if it's the same thing. And by bringing up Isodyne, I think they're trying to lead us down that path, and I have no reason to doubt it right now, so I'll just run with it.
I think that's an excellent theory.
Yeah. So Robbie Reyes has to come clean to Gabe, and it was a powerful, elongated segment of the episode right in the middle, and we see the Robbie Reyes's Ghost Rider origins. We talked about who the possibility of who he was talking to and made the deal with. But Gabe is not taking it well. He's like, get me out of here.
It's got to be weird to find out that your brother has been going around killing people at night, and also that his head is on fire. And even more so if you have presumably been raised religious, that they made a deal with the devil for you.
But it's not him. It's okay. It's the other guy.
Do you really buy that, though?
No.
If you watch your brother try to straight up murder some folk?
I didn't buy it when he said it. I think the way that Robbie's acting is the same. It's the same thing. They were going after those gang members together, Robbie and the other guy. Robbie can't abdicate himself from that.
Yep. I think that's exactly what we're going to see over the season is that, because, okay, in the comic, again, it's not like the actual devil. It's the spirit of a serial killer. So there is some distinction as to the other guy versus him. What we're seeing here from this episode is that the spirit of the Ghost Rider passed from the previous one to him. And I think there's a lot less of a distinction there. I think it's still at heart him. It's feeding off of his anger and his wish for vengeance and everything, but it's still his anger and wish for vengeance.
Yeah, vengeance came up several times and definitely a key to look out for here. Haley, tell me about Lucy. What's going on with Lucy? Do you think she met her end well at the end?
It's the end we expected for her, probably. I think it's interesting when we found out she wasn't the big bad that she has been portrayed as up to this point this season because of duplicitous uncles. And also, we got to see Kerr Smith again. Didn't know he still acted. Kerr Smith was her husband.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Kurt Smith. Yeah. Joseph.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, never mind. I thought it was Uncle Eli. But SP is wrong.
No.
SP is always wrong.
Uncle Eli, I noticed he had been in an episode before this episode.
Okay. Yeah, we were trying to count the ghosts and everything and make sure that they were all gone. I think it's conclusive that they're all gone now, except for whatever Eli's become. And we'll just march forward with that. Do either of you two have any history in the comics which would point to what character Eli has transformed himself into?
Adam on Twitter, consultant Black Adam, had an interesting theory. He suggested he could be Molecule Man.
Hmm. And tell me about Molecule Man. I have no idea.
I'm going to have to look it up because... Okay.
While Lauren does that, we're going to bring a call back in because Nathan B. Nathanson was name dropped again this episode. It wasn't Nathan B. Nathanson. It was just Nathanson. Just want to point that out, Haley.
I still have not heard a first name for him. I've only heard Nathanson.
Go back to the premiere. You will hear Nathan B. Nathanson.
Okay.
So... That is awesome that they're continuing that. And I guess now Nathanson is in charge of the science department because we don't have Bobby around anymore. And the only other named character would be Nathanson because both Fitz and Simmons are not available.
Okay, this is why I don't know much about Molecule Man. He's a Fantastic Four villain mainly.
Ah, so Haley and, should be all read up on Molecule Man right now.
Yeah, he first showed up in Fantastic Four number 20. And, yeah, his name's Owen Reese. He can control molecules.
So and, everything.
Yeah, he occasionally shows up as a reformed villain. And I guess he was last seen in the whole Doom fan fiction world.
Well, we'll look into the character a little bit more, and we'll get back to you either next week or the week after.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's just two other things that I want to run through with the episode. First of all, with the car chase and the firebomb and everything, I have to point out that was actually two different cars. They didn't wreck the Charger. They wrecked another car that looked like a Charger.
So a friend of my husband's who's big into classic cars actually messaged him this morning panicking about that. He's like, do you know if they actually wrecked the car? Do you know if they actually wrecked the car? And no. They did not wreck an original 69 Charger. So everybody can rest easy.
Right.
Yeah, between this show and Supernatural, the classic car industry is not looking so hot.
Just relax, people. The Charger is fine. However, there was another car that was at least turned on its head.
Yeah, but it wasn't the car that everyone loves. So rest easy. It is a sad lesser car.
So now we got to talk about the ending because we've got Coulson, Fitz, and Robbie caught in whatever that was. We'll just call it an explosion. I have no idea if that's what it was or not. They are nowhere to be seen at the end, including Ghost Rider, which I thought was interesting. Do you think that they have been pulled into the other dimension? Do you think they're in the storage devices? Or what do you think happened to them?
Huh. I don't actually know.
Haley, do you have a theory?
I think they're just really, really dead now. They were whatever energy beings or whatever when they were running around causing mayhem, and then Ghost Rider did his thing, and now they're dead, and they go wherever dead people go.
No, I'm talking about Coulson, Fitz, and Robbie at the end.
I thought you were talking about the ones that he got.
No, I'm talking about Coulson, Fitz, and Robbie. What do you think happened to them?
That I don't know.
Okay, maybe they're in the Zero universe.
Ooh. Or maybe they're going to look like the ghosty things now.
Oh, that would be interesting. A little late for Halloween.
I'm really worried, you guys. Like, I was yelling at my TV so much last night.
And Simmons is actually not available. So I don't know how they're going to pull these people back. Nathanson's going to do his best. He's not going to know what to do. We all know how this ends. And ultimately, they're going to wonder where Simmons is and try to bring her back. So I think that's where we're standing right now. And this isn't even the midseason finale. That's like in December. We got a couple episodes to go before we get there. And this is one heck of a cliffhanger. Thank you, U.S. presidential election.
Ruins everything. Ugh.
Doesn't ruin. You had fun drinking during the debates.
Yeah, but it ruins television for like 2 months.
I yelled a lot during the debates. I could drink on my own, okay? I could drink perfectly fine on my own without yelling at everybody. I am a happy drunk. When I watch the debates, I am an angry drunk.
I'm looking forward to my election night drinking. That's going to be a good time. God.
Oh, Lord.
It's going to be interesting indeed.
I'm going to have to buy some cheap wine.
It's going to be interesting indeed. Just to let everybody know, there is no episode next week, the week after, or the week after. We have to wait 4 weeks to come back and into the next episode. In the meantime, next week, we're going to be talking about Doctor Strange. And in the following weeks, we are going to enter in to Luke Cage.
Yay!
So that is our plan for the future. In the meantime, I think it's time to get on to some news. What do you ladies think?
I think better so. Do it.
All right, here we go. All right, before we get off into our normal news of the week, I took the opportunity to take a look at the ratings for the show in this season.
Super good.
They are awesome. So starting with The Ghost on 20th of September, we're at 3.44, followed up by 2.95 with Meet the New Boss, 2.68 with Uprising, 2.34 with Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire, 2.43 with Lock Up, and The Good Samaritan. Ladies, it's not looking good for the show.
Well, what are you going to do?
Move to Canada?
How does that help?
No, that's, I'm sorry, I was crossing the streams. That was with the election. I don't know. We're just going to see where this goes. I think that those ratings are too low for the show to actually get renewed next season, but we'll just see how it goes. We'll keep our eyes on it and keep everybody informed on what's going on.
If it's going to go away, I just hope they know ahead of time so they can finish whatever storylines they've got and actually do a satisfying end to it.
Yeah.
But 4 seasons is a good long run for a show, and I've enjoyed it up to this point. Like I said, I just want them to be able to wrap up whatever story they're telling.
Agreed. Just, we've gotten Coulson and Fitz and Simmons and May in the comics, and that's something, but I love the show. I'm really enjoying this season so far.
Right.
If they go out on a note where they finish telling a story, I'll be happy.
I heard that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. run was not going to be in the Marvel Now universe, at least not initially. We might have lost that connection as well. I don't know. We'll see. In the meantime, we have some great news from Netflix. We have a lot of Defenders news, actually. Lauren, what do we got going on with the Defenders?
So I saw these at all different times, but I'm just going to read them all at once. These are all links to the Defenders official Twitter account. Here are people who were confirmed for the Defenders. Simone Missick, a.k.a. Misty Knight. Deborah Ann Wall, Karen Page. Eldon Henson, Foggy Nelson. Carrie Ann Moss, Jerry Hogarth. Eka Darville, Malcolm. Rosario Dawson, Claire Temple. Rachel Taylor, Trish Walker. Scott Glenn, Stick. They are all confirmed for Defenders. And, as a separate article, but still Defenders related, the first Defenders set photos have started to come out. It's on comingsoon.net, and we see a picture of Jessica Jones and Misty Knight. And I'm excited. You guys, I'm so excited.
I did. I saw another news story that said Defenders is only going to be 8 episodes long, but I
saw that too.
With a cast this complex, this big, I can't see them actually affording more than 8 or really needing more than 8. We've all talked about previous series where they've been good, but it's like, did it last a little bit longer than it needed or what? If 8 is all they need to tell the story that they're going to tell, at least make those 8 episodes great, and I'll be glad to have them.
Exactly.
Yep.
tailing on to our controversial news segment last week, and it wasn't our controversial news segment. We were talking about controversial news. There is another great Marvel controversial news segment about Doctor Strange. Lauren, what do you got with this?
Okay, so we've talked a lot in the past about the controversy with Doctor Strange and the whitewashing of casting Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One, who is traditionally an Asian character, and specifically Tibetan. And they gave the reason why, and they're like, well, it's because if we acknowledge Tibet in any form, we can't open this in China. And they've said that because they don't want to be like really stereotypical. So the director talked, Scott Derrickson, talked with the Daily Beast, went on and just talked about the decisions that he made. And he said, well, it was a challenge from the beginning because with both Wong and the ancient one, they're both, and I will admit this, really bad racial stereotypes from the 1960s.
Yes.
So they made the Ancient One a female magician, and they changed Tibet to Nepal because China admits that Nepal exists. They changed Wong around so that instead of being a servant, now he's more of a mentor type figure and an equal to Doctor Strange. And I'm very happy about that because the actor that they cast, Benedict Wong, I've really liked him ever since I first saw him in Sunshine. And it's an interesting article. I'm going to be seeing the movie tomorrow. I mean, I can't really say one way or the other until I see it tomorrow. At least the director is actually owning up to, look, I understand the controversy here. A lot of people, when confronted with stuff like this, just kind of double down on it and make everything worse.
Right. Like J.J. Abrams with Khan and Star Trek. That was just bad.
They talk about the character was originally such a caricature. You can do the character justice, though, without it being a caricature. You could grow the character into something more appropriate for modern storytelling and a modern audience.
Agreed. Like what they're doing with Wong in the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. At least okay. He came clean with what his rationale was, with why he did what he did, and that it was actually, to, in his mind anyway, to benefit the storyline, the characters and everything. And we'll see how it plays out. We'll talk about it more after we see the movie next week. How about that, guys?
Yeah. Okay. And whether or not you agree with his decision, the fact does remain that it is one less role for an Asian man, which there are few enough good roles for Asian men in Hollywood. So, eh.
Right.
Speaking of more controversy and doubling down on bad behavior.
Oh my gosh. I read that article and I was like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous.
There are a couple of artists who have worked with Marvel before, Frank Cho and Milo Manara. They have caused a lot of controversy over the past couple years with very highly sexualized covers. Milo Manara has, you know, a reputation for drawing erotica. There's nothing wrong with drawing erotica. The thing is that when somebody calls you out on, hey, this cover, first of all, the anatomy is bad and kind of impossible.
The spine does not bend that
way. The spines don't work that way. And secondly, stuff like this on a cover is kind of not inviting of women into a comic. When you're trying to do something as for as big of an audience as possible, like deliberately excluding 50% of your audience by being like, this is how we see you as sex objects, is questionable, to put it mildly. And when this was pointed out to him, Milo Manara threw a fit. Frank Cho, there was kind of a similar thing a few months ago, where he drew something and again, freaked out when people were like, dude, this is why women don't feel comfortable in comics. So there's a comics convention called Luca Comics and Games in Italy this past weekend. And Frank Cho hosted a panel. And the panel was called Frank Cho, Milo Manara, and Women, a dialogue between two masters. That probably went about as well as you'd expect. And then at the end, Milo Manara presented Frank Cho with a gift of a very not safe for work picture of Spider-Woman. And when we say not safe for work,
this couldn't be a movie poster.
This could not be like, again, there is nothing wrong with drawing erotica.
It is exactly the female anatomy, just colored red so they can pretend like she's wearing a costume.
Yeah. But because it was a special gifted appreciation for fighting censorship, it's just kind of like a really, like, it's just these people being like, oh, I'm celebrating being a jerk and being able to be a jerk because I continue to work in the comics industry. Whereas, you know, when women stand up and do something, they are run out of the industry.
Yeah, I can't support this sort of behavior. Like you said, there's nothing wrong with drawing erotica, but this is comics. And I know in the past it's been like that, but you're absolutely right. When you're trying to invite multi-diverse people into comics to increase your audience, so to increase your sales, I just don't see this being acceptable behavior, basically, when you're talking about this sort of art. Now, I do understand that this is where the comic book history is and all that, but guys, look, this is the 2010s. You got to move on and do something different. Like, you have to make actual erotica comics and not this sort of stuff.
There is a place for that.
There are lots of erotica comics out there, and a lot of them are really good. I read a few of them. Ogloff is great. But when it comes to, this is a big mass market thing that we are trying to make inclusive and bring in as many fans as possible, and it is not for this one particular niche audience. Eh.
And there's also the argument that gets made, like, if there's some sort of outcry against something you've done, people are infringing on your speech. No, you were a dick, and people called you out on the fact that you were being a dick.
And also, it's not censorship. Like, these people don't understand what censorship means.
Well, it could be, and that would be an interesting discussion maybe to have on In Defense of What is Modern Censorship versus Historic Censorship.
My best friend is a lawyer, so I could have her on to discuss this.
It's what is censorship versus people using their own choice to say, hey, I don't like the thing you did, so I'm not going to support it. Like, that's not censorship, that's choice.
And when the company that is like, oh, these people are a large portion of our sales, are like, oh, yeah, bad idea, and call it back, that is also not censorship. That is a company making a business decision.
Okay, so we've got that going on, and we also have a kind of a rebound from a similar situation.
Yes, we do. So J. Scott Campbell is an artist who also draws very sexualized pictures of women. He's kind of notorious for it. And a couple weeks ago, he drew a variant cover for Meltdown Comics of the new Ironheart, Riri Williams, who is a 15-year-old black girl. And he drew her in this very sexualized pose. A lot of people thought it was questionable, especially, first of all, because it's a 15-year-old girl. And secondly, because there's an issue where minority girls are sexualized at a very early age. Whether, you know, we're black, we're Hispanic, Asian, we're kind of prone to people like in the media and stuff like that being like, oh, you know, they'll if there's a story in the media, they'll tend to call teenage minority girls women before they will call a girl of the same age who's Caucasian a woman. They'll call them a girl. And you see this over and over. So it's a very touchy issue. So some people were like, that's not right. So the issue was pulled. That variant cover was pulled.
That variant, yeah.
So J. Scott Campbell redrew the cover, and it's really cute.
I like this cover.
She has a much more childlike, age-appropriate face. She's wearing much more age-appropriate clothes. She's kind of holding, you know, the armor.
Like it was a teddy
and
bear.
Like it's a teddy bear. Exactly. And just kind of, you know, she has a screwdriver in one hand and she's just kind of looking at the camera like, okay, what? And it's the new piece is called Rethink. And it looks really good. And this reaction has been very much more positively received.
I enjoyed the character when they introduced her in Invincible Iron Man. And I'm looking forward to the continuation of the character's development. She was at MIT, super genius, operating on the level of Tony Stark, and really capable young woman that Tony wanted to then go ahead and bankroll because, well, he can, and she needs to be protected from the standpoint that she, if she's not going to be developed within kind of an Avengers aspect, then she could turn supervillain really quick. So she's just a lovable character that just thinks it's really cool and might not understand all the ramifications. And it's great that Tony Stark is kind of taking her under her wing and saying, hey, look, you know, I can't stop you, but I can help you. And let's approach it from that standpoint. Of course, Tony Stark is not quite done in the comics right now, but headed that way with Dr. Doom and Riri Williams taking up the character's mantle. So we'll just see where it all pans out. I like the cover, the reworked cover, and I'm looking forward to seeing the first issue, which should be coming out. I don't know when the exact date is, but within the month, it'll be out. So looking forward to that. Do we have any other comments about the news, Haley?
I think that was it.
All right.
For this week.
Lauren, you good?
No.
All right. We're going to move on to some feedback. All right. We have had a very active Twitter stream again, specifically with the live tweets. But before we get there, I just want to point out that at Born to Eat Bacon tweeted us with this Halloween extra from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast on a jib jab, and I never got it to play. Did either you two ladies get it to play?
I haven't tried.
Okay. So I don't know if it was been taken down or my computer is acting up or whatever, but thank you very much at Born to Eat Bacon. And if you've had a chance to watch it, I'm sure it was great. So, Lauren, you live tweeted the episode last night. Very fun time. I know you love doing that. What are some of the tweets that you got back from that?
Okay. So, in no particular order, at Andy Migna said, Han Solo, Admiral Akbar is an unsung hero. Who wrote this episode?
Jeffrey Bell, as we know
Jeffrey
now.
Jeffrey Bell. At Adana Girl, who on this show hasn't been dead? Time for a formerly dead party. I can get behind that.
Mr. Paracletes said, when Gabe said, don't you put that blood on me, all I could think of was...
Oh, and the image didn't copy, but...
It was from Talladega Nights, and it was, yeah. Don't you put that on me,
Don't
Ricky
you put
Bobby.
That on me, Ricky Bobby?
Yeah.
And Consultant Black Adam suggesting Molecule Man.
Right. Adam coming out with the win there. Really appreciate that, Adam.
Yeah. I really, really appreciated everybody tweeting last night. It was incredibly entertaining.
Mm-hmm. A lot more entertaining than the baseball game, let me tell you. Although the Cubs are playing and the Indians are playing right now. So
yeah, how's that game going right now?
Yeah, we'll see if the Cubs actually pull it off. All right. You ladies ready to walk this one out?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Join us next week as we discuss Doctor Strange. We're going to be doing it on Sunday afternoon, 12:30 Eastern. So if you're actually listening to this before then, come on over. We'd love to have your input on that.
Also, don't forget to change your clocks this weekend so you don't miss it.
That's right. It is time to fall back.
Also, if you live in the U.S., don't forget to vote if you haven't already.
Yes, right. Do that.
I'm actually planning on voting on Tuesday. I have to take the day off for some other things. So I thought, I'll just go swing by the polls and see what's going on.
May as well then.
Yeah.
I already voted.
A lot of people have. The last story I saw said 22 million people had already voted, or 22 million votes were already in. And that was last week. So it could be as high as 50 million now. I don't know. So.
Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton's in town right now doing an early voting rally.
Oh, hey.
So join us next Sunday as we discuss Doctor Strange, but you can always find our live streams at www.geeks.live.
Thank you so much for everybody who tweets. Like I said, you make the live tweets so interesting. And during the long, sad drought of episodes, we would love to hear from you. We will tweet back to you because we've got to console each other somehow.
Thank you to Born to Eat Bacon and Average Intelligence for entering our contest. Congratulations, Average Intelligence, for winning the cool, cool swag. And stay tuned for more giveaways, especially this weekend. You might want to check it out.
Yeah, we will be starting our next giveaway on Sunday. I just want to thank you for checking us out, downloading the podcast. Thank you for watching us on YouTube. We really appreciate you spending your time with us and then getting us feedback, because we love to interact with you. That's why we're doing this. We don't do this just to hear ourselves talk. We do this to talk about Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in particular, and we want to hear from you what you think about that. And you can find all the ways to contact us on our website, legendsofshield.com, voicemail line 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. We have a Facebook page and Twitter page, as Lauren alluded to before. Don't forget about our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/GonnaGeek. All right, ladies, I think it's time to say goodnight. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys next week. Bye. Or Sunday. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at Incompetech.com, and also artists on Pond5.com and AudioJungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
All righty. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, we are. Well, we're still on YouTube. And I just want to say thank you for Steven dropping by in the chat. He said, and I quote, "My theory, Coulson, Fitz, and Robbie are now crossed over to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe and have replaced you three. You three are imposters! Imposters! I'm on to your tricks, Coulson."
I think I'm Fitz.
Which would make Lauren Robbie, which would be appropriate.
Got the red on the...
There you go.
Yeah, fire and everything.
And also Steven said, "Hey, question, when are the cats of the show getting billing credits in the intro? I think they should." So thank you very much for that, Steven. One second here.
Making the sausage.
Yeah, we're having some YouTube difficulties. Imagine that.
Show off my cup.
Oh, I forgot to use my cool cup. I just have a regular cup.
This is, in fact, not whiskey. It's chamomile tea. Because I've been having sleeping problems.
This is cocoa mint green tea because I've had a sore throat.
Ooh. The sore throat is bad. The cocoa mint green tea is good.
Yes.
Adadonna girl. Who on this show hasn't been dead? Time for a formerly dead party. I can get behind that.
Haley? I think Haley is in the process of either recovering from being dead or... Going the other way.
I'm mostly recovered.
Mostly
quickly,
recovered.
Quickly, send Haley to Tahiti.
That's right.
No!
All right. You ladies ready to walk this one out?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, poor Haley.
Yes. Okay, here we go.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2016.